Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The world doesn't believe in the coming Christ, even as the world doesn't believe in the Christ who once came. The world lives in darkness, the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of wickedness, the darkness of unbelief. But not so you Christians. Like the Thessalonian Christians to whom St. Paul wrote in today's epistle, you are not in darkness. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. So the Spirit of Jesus calls out to you today, to you who have the light of God's Word and the faith that has been kindled by it. Live differently than those who don't believe in Jesus, than those who don't believe that He is coming. Be wise and wait for the Bridegroom to come, that you may enter with Him into His church triumphant. In the Gospel today, Jesus teaches His disciples another lesson about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the Christian church, the assembly of the baptized on earth and in heaven. Now on earth, we call it the church militant, and in heaven, we call it the church triumphant. Because the church in heaven is truly pure and spotless. All those who reach the church in heaven were true believers in Christ here on earth, who persevered in the faith until the end. They overcame, they triumphed over all their enemies who fought against them during their earthly life, the devil, the world, and their own sinful flesh. And they can never fall away, never fall back out of the church. That's why we call it the church triumphant. The church here on earth, in the broad sense at least, is a mixed bag, as the Scriptures paint it, with true believers and false Christians living side by side, all calling themselves Christians. Here on earth, Christians can still be attacked and tempted to turn away from the faith of Christ. And the faithful can at some point abandon the faith or become lukewarm and indifferent. We call it the church militant here below because here on earth we're always fighting and battling and struggling, not against flesh and blood, but against the devil and against the threat of falling away. So Christ issues an earnest warning in today's gospel, urging His true believers to keep watch, to prepare for His coming, to expect Him at any time, but to be wisely prepared for a whole lifetime of waiting. It's like 10 virgins, He says, who went out to meet the Bridegroom, who was coming to meet His bride on their march into the wedding hall. The Bridegroom is Christ Jesus, the heavenly Bridegroom, who shed His blood for His bride, the church, to cleanse her of her sins with baptismal waters. He pledged Himself to His bride and promised to come back to get her so that they could be married in a great spiritual marriage and live side by side together in the heavenly paradise. The bride in this parable is the church triumphant, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, as it will be when Christ returns. But He didn't say exactly when He was coming. In fact, He intentionally hid the day and the hour from His disciples and simply called on His people to wait for Him, to be ready for Him whenever He comes. So who are these 10 virgins in the parable? They're not all people. They're individual members of the church militant. But even so, they don't represent all people who call themselves Christians. There are some who call themselves Christians who rarely set foot in a church. They're called Christians because their parents told them at some point that they were Christians, maybe even had them baptized when they were young. They think they believe in God somehow, but they don't care about hearing the word of Christ or receiving the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament, and they certainly aren't concerned about living their lives in preparation for Christ's coming. Such people are truly the Christians in name only, and will by no means enter the wedding hall with the bridegroom unless they repent before the last day with a living faith. There are others called Christians who teach and adhere to false doctrines that strike right at the heart of the Christian faith, from the Pope and his works righteous, idolatrous, anti-Christian doctrines to the liberal Christians in America or around the world, including many who call themselves Lutherans, who embrace immorality, twist the Holy Scriptures, and deny that Christ alone saves. To many who embrace the evangelical emptiness of the feel-good, how-to-have-a-better-life-on-earth religion. These all maintain a semblance, an outward semblance of Christianity, while denying the heart of it, the chief teachings of the Bible. And in some cases, they even persecute Christians. They live their life for this world. And if they are preparing for Christ to come back at all, they're waiting for a false Christ, not the real Jesus revealed to us in Holy Scripture. They're fooling themselves if they think they'll enter the wedding hall with the bridegroom unless they repent before the last day with a living faith. But the 10 virgins in Jesus' parable are not like these. They are true believers, true Christians who start out eagerly waiting for the arrival of the bridegroom, eagerly hoping to be numbered with the saints and included in the church triumphant. They're baptized. They go out with their lamps to wait for Christ, living in daily repentance, diligent in prayer, committed to walking by the Spirit as God calls on us to do. But some are foolish, and some are wise. They all have the opportunity to get plenty of oil to last the whole night. 5 of them bring along extra oil in case the bridegroom is delayed, but the other 5 only bring along what's already in their lamps, counting on a quick arrival of the bridegroom. The light is faith, faith that keeps burning, keeps trusting in Jesus and His mercy, keeps looking to Him for all good things, but especially for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. To have faith at the coming of Christ is the thing that determines where you'll spend eternity. But the Scriptures don't teach the heresy of once saved, always saved. The Scriptures don't teach once a believer, always a believer. What the Scriptures do teach is that faith, like a flame, needs to be fed. What the Scriptures do teach is that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. The ministry of that Word, preaching, teaching, absolution, the sacraments, is the oil in the lamp, the means by which God feeds the faith that God the Holy Spirit once kindled. What the Scriptures also teach is that God has committed Himself in eternity to providing all that is necessary for His baptized children to persevere in the faith until the end, as we reviewed together on Wednesday at our Thanksgiving service. He'll provide His word and sacraments. He'll provide ministers to administer them. He'll provide opportunities for prayer, and He'll hear those prayers. He'll guide and strengthen His people by His Spirit to lead holy lives here on earth. And He'll help His people to bear up under the cross, to overcome the assaults of Satan and every evil, and to survive all the hardships and sufferings that fill this world, all the way up until the day of the bridegroom's return. So what does it look like to be wise in the kingdom of heaven? It looks like the five virgins who were prepared for a whole nighttime, for a whole lifetime of waiting. The wise Christians use the means of grace as long as they can. They go to church regularly if they can, and take advantage of the ministry of the Word as long and as often as they can. They learn the Scriptures and study them. They put aside hypocrisy, malice, hatred, and bitterness. They fight against the sinful flesh. They live in daily repentance. They pray. They do works of love according to their own vocation. And they bear the cross with patience. And they teach their children to do the same, although they can't believe for their children. Their children will also have to use the means of grace God has provided for themselves. Their children will also have to prepare for a lifetime of waiting. The foolish Christians hear Christ's urgent pleas to prepare and keep watch for His coming, but they foolishly don't listen. They started out well, but then they get tired of the uncomfortable Christian life. They get entangled in earthly concerns. They may or may not go to church when it's convenient, but if they miss hearing the preaching of the Word of Christ, and if they miss the sacrament for a while, it really doesn't bother them anymore. They find no urgency in it anymore. They don't worry about their sins anymore. Their heart doesn't long for Christ's coming anymore. And their faith becomes an empty shell, like an empty oil lamp. When the bridegroom comes, those foolish Christians will find out just how foolish they were to squander their time of grace and to allow their faith to flicker and die. They'll hear from Jesus those terrible words, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you." They won't enter the church triumphant. Instead, they'll be locked out forever with the pagans, with the devil worshippers, with the Muslims, both the peaceful and the militant ones. Because being a Christian isn't about following certain traditions or hanging crosses in your house. Being a Christian is a matter of having a living, burning faith and trust in Christ Jesus. The wise, on the other hand, will finally see the bridegroom face to face. They will join the wedding procession and become part of the church triumphant, and their joy will know no end. Christ will have kept all His promises to them, including His promise to come at last, to rescue His church from this dying world. And the faithful will not be disappointed. Dear Christians, it's not too late. If you notice that you've started to grow indifferent toward Christ and His Word, if you see that your love for your neighbor has begun to grow cold, if you find that you haven't been giving much thought at all to the arrival of the bridegroom, then now is the time to fill your lamps and vessels again. Now is the time to receive the absolution, to feed on Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, and to renew your zeal in preparing for eternity. There is plenty of oil yet to be bought, though not with money. The Lord Christ has seen fit to preserve the preaching of His Word and the administration of His sacraments in this place for a while longer. But who knows for how long? The whole season of Advent is especially geared toward helping Christians to be prepared for Christ's coming. Continue to support the ministry of the Word here and abroad with your presence, with your attention, with your offerings, and with your prayers. Come often, pray often, come to Bible class, read your Bibles at home. The Christian life is not a spectacular one-time event. It's a slow and steady burn, like the little flame of an oil lamp, marked by a steadfast faith that constantly clings to Christ. Your life on earth, your time of waiting for Christ, may be short or it may be long. It doesn't matter. If it's short, you'll enter the church triumphant sooner. If it's long, then God Himself will provide the means necessary to keep you safe until He comes. But one of those means is the Word of Christ spoken to you in the Gospel. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So listen to Jesus. Watch and keep watching. The Bridegroom will come soon enough. And by watching and using the means God has provided, you will be prepared to join the joyful wedding procession into the great heavenly hall. For the sake of Christ alone, amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.